Okay, as we continue chatting with Rosemary Ellen Guiley and John Zaffis about their new work, Demon Haunted, we will also mix in your phone calls here. Stories, questions, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with John Zaffis, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, as we talk about Demon Haunted. Rosemary, how did you guys come up with this title?
Well, it's a brainstorming. We were doing a follow-on to Haunted by the Things You Love, which we brought out 2 years ago about haunted objects, and we wanted to expand the scope because we look at both objects and haunted land and literally haunted people. And then all of this that happened with John's heart attack and his messages from Ed, mm-hmm. too, got factored into it. And Demon Haunted just seemed to capture the whole essence that, you know, in many respects, we really do live on a demon-haunted planet where we are coming into contact with aspects of the spirit world that are puzzling, troubling, and even terrifying.
Rosemary, we know that Gettysburg in Pennsylvania seems to have, I don't want to call it hauntings, but there are lots of attached spirits to the land there. How does that happen?
Well, certainly from the violence that took place there in Gettysburg, and we've seen this at other battle sites and even sites of horrible accidents and crimes like murders and suicides, where the violent energy of sudden and terrible death literally gets absorbed by the land itself and starts to impact the kinds of ways that people react to that land. And I've spent many, many nights in Gettysburg over the years, and it's almost impossible not to experience at least residual activity of the Civil War battle that was fought there. There are certain configurations to the soil that seem to give it different battery properties that enable these energies to remain active for long periods of time. And then when you have people also interacting with those energies, that helps to keep it alive as well.
John, the Catholic Church has increased its count of exorcists, priests, in this country by tenfold. Mm-hmm. What's going on?
Again, to George, there was a point where it was very low. A lot of the priests weren't really interested in hearing about it or participating in studying the demonology courses that were offered. And I think with the uprise of people realizing and the church itself realizing, you know, that these things are occurring and these things are happening, I think more of the clergy coming aboard, becoming priests, are taking this curriculum to understand it so that they're able to help more of the parishioners. So again, with it and increasing it and the studies that the priests are going through are extremely important, and there has been a lot more appointed to being able to do the rites of exorcism and have studied the demonology courses through their curriculum. So it's an important ingredient that's been brought more out to the forefront instead of so much of the clergy members and the priests having to be underground.
Can we also assume, though, that the exorcisms or the people who need to be exorcised is increasing as opposed to it was always a high number?
With me, George, it's always been because I've always dealt with a tremendous amount of this. I think more of it is being brought out into the forefront, which is important because more people are talking about it. More people are realizing, you know, hey, I went through this, and it's not really something to be ashamed of. If I can reach out, share my story, I might be able to help another person. I think with a lot of it, the recognition of a lot more people being open about it, yes, I will say there is an increase in things, and I think that has a lot to do with people coming more to the forefront and not being afraid to share what they went through or, you know, dealing with the clergy or dealing with the priest.
Are religious objects, do they get haunted? I mean, I can't see or even feel as if a crucifix, for example, would get haunted. But does that happen?
Yes, George. It's an unfortunate thing where a lot of religious items from all our religions, especially the Roman Catholic Church, statues, crosses, and these things are used in rituals on a negative level. I have several different statues that have been removed from a church. They were donated. They were very large statues. And as the children were breaking down their mother's home, they were finding that a lot of these statues were used in different rituals. And the mom had it where she wanted everything donated to the church. And a major haunting broke out in the church. I also have a rosary bead that was used on a negative level by a gentleman that was practicing things, you know, as far as Satanism. And again, with religious items, I have several Bibles, family Bibles, that were used on a negative level also that are in the museum today.
Right.
So yes, a lot of religious items, unfortunately, do fall prey because they have very powerful, good energy associated with them, and if they can do something to break that on a negative level, it can be used that way also.
And Rosemary, before we go to calls, we've got to ask you about a gin story. What do you have for us?
Well, I've got a lot of those, but we have a gin ring story in the book, and this is one of the most common ways that people try to acquire gin, that spirits can be bound to objects ritually. They can be captured in vessels like bottles and boxes. They can be bound to jewelry, any sort of object. But it's very prevalent on the internet to search for spirit-bound jewelry. That the idea is that you get a kind of a servant spirit that comes along with a pendant or a ring, and you can summon up this entity to do things for you. And people do believe this. A lot of this stuff just doesn't work. It's there really aren't any spirits bound to it. But every now and then, somebody buys the real deal off the internet, and they get some rude surprises. And that's what happened to someone who acquired a pendant off the internet that was advertised to have a gin attached to it. And once the object is sold, then the seller will never take it back because the spirit goes along with the object, and then it becomes attached to the owner. And this person started having nightmares, horrible smells that broke out in the home environment. Nightmares, hearing in the night disembodied voices mumbling in what sounded like a foreign language, and a lot of unpleasant phenomena started to occur physically as well, that at night the person would feel touched at night, something grabbing the feet and you know, touching the body, and she wanted to get rid of this pendant. And of course the seller wouldn't take it back, said sorry, you know, it's all yours now. And so she's, you know, wanted to know what to do with this. And well, one of the things to do is to bind the spirit to the object and then remove the object if the spirit has managed to attach to the person, which is often the case by the time physical contact starts to happen. Then you're looking at more of a personal exorcism.
And I used to remember the Sinbad movies my dad used to bring me to back in the late 50s and early 60s. Arabic for jinn, of course, means genie, right?
It does, yes. Well, actually, genie is a corruption of the word jinn, and jinn means the hidden ones. And we treat genies as being kind of silly, you know, that we associate them with Aladdin's lamp, and that they're goofy-looking spirits that grant wishes, and they're not to be taken seriously. But they're very formidable entities, and they have a lot of power, and a lot of them don't particularly care for human beings and will cause a lot of trouble when they can.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Let's pick it up by going to Colleen in Iowa to start things. Hi, Colleen, go ahead. Hello? gin. They have taken her away. Let's go to Frank in St. Louis, though. Frank, go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, brother.
Sure thing,
I am a first-time caller.
Thank you.
Long-time listener. And I really had a problem when I brought home a ancient Indian artifact. There was a... It was woodwork. So it was a statue with real-looking feet, bare feet, hands that were praying, and a headdress. And this thing was from India. And a friend of my wife's said that this was an ancient Indian artifact of some kind that they put outside their houses to pray about their crops growing and stuff like that. Well, I brought the thing home, and I'm a godly person, but I walked away from God for a while, and I had been called to cast out evil spirits out of people.
Yeah.
And the thing is that this thing attached itself to me. It jumped out of the statue, walked across my floor.
Oh, boy.
While I was sleeping, jumped onto my body and paralyzed me. And when I cried out to the Lord with my mouth, the thing put his hand over my mouth so I couldn't speak. And I found out the only way that I could get rid of this thing was to pray in the name of Jesus that this thing be removed from me, this curse be removed off of me. And in an instant, it was gone. And
has it ever returned, Frank?
I actually had two more of the statues bought from the same person. I had to take them out back, hack them to pieces, the hands first, so I couldn't pray to its God.
Oh, my God. And if somebody was watching you, they would have thought you're nuts, right?
Well, yeah, of course. But I'm blind, so this has made it even harder for me to do what I had to do.
So I would guess so.
I took it out back, chopped it up, threw it in the fireplace, and burnt it. And that was the only way to release that curse, George.
When it burned, did you hear anything from it?
No, there was no sound whatsoever. It had been bound in the name of Jesus to shut its mouth and never return again and go back where it came from.
John Zaffis, let me ask you about this. Did he do the right thing?
Well, again, too, if I understood Frank correctly, he's involved with the demonology work. Did I hear you correctly? Or
yes.
That you're doing?
Yeah.
You're helping individuals that have these issues. One thing that I'm very guarded and very careful with is, you know, a person in these circumstances, if they break an item or they're burning that item, they need to be very guarded, very careful with doing that, because that energy can grab right towards the individual and can basically wreak even more havoc with an individual if they're not careful, if they're not protected. So I always recommend that they do call in someone on a spiritual level to be able to take care of something of that nature. And there are different, you know, spiritual people out there.
So while it's burning, John, it could attach itself to that person?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's why I never recommend to anyone, especially the person that's going through it, George, because if they burn that item or break that item and there is something attached to it, it can gravitate right towards an individual.
What about Ouija boards? People recommend burning them.
Pardon me?
Ouija boards. What about them?
Well, I definitely don't recommend burning them or breaking them. It's the same thing. It's an object, and that anything that can be attached to that can gravitate right towards the individual. I always recommend, you know, call somebody in, talk to them, call in your spiritual people if necessary, or paranormal investigators, and, you know, again, looking for that right solution so you don't end up making things twice as bad for yourself, because, again, not even realizing it, you can be granting a free will for that spirit to attract right towards you.
Let's go to Susan in Seattle, Washington, first-time caller. Hi, Susan. Go ahead.
Hi, George. I've been writing you many letters over the years. Ever since Oso hit, I've been following you tooth and nail.
Right.
I had a whole bunch of things open up in my brain because of my ancestry that I knew nothing about. And now I'm having some beautiful things, and that gets me over to Helen Guiley. When my mom died, I went down there to the house and got the family Bible from Hungary, And my cousin Martha got all the annuities, you know, and I gave my kids the house. And I had all this anger, you know, focused around being denied my heritage, you know, and not knowing anything and going through life thinking I just sprung out of Brooklyn,
out of the
sidewalk, that I didn't have any kind of past, and that's how stupid I used to be. And I received the family Bible, and I had been working on my anger toward my mother, and I had told my friend, I said, you know, my mom used to always say that Grandpa Martha looked like Theodore Roosevelt. I wonder if she was right. I went to this coffee shop here in North Seattle, which is supposed to be a Bible-fearing place and is supposed to make you find happiness there, and I walk in there. I don't find any happiness from the people, but I found Theodore Roosevelt's cutout book propped up in the children's reading area.
There you
and
go.
I went and grabbed it.
Synchronicity.
I've had so many synchronicities, especially since Oso hit, and I really started getting in touch with my Hungarian heritage through the website.
Now, I thought you were going to say Theodore Roosevelt popped out as a ghost on you.
Oh, no. It was when that WikiLeaks guy, he leaked a whole bunch of stuff about the Hungarians from that he got from the British Library, and it's only been available for 100 years now. So all the Hungarian stuff, you know, I didn't think I was anything, you know. And I went through life feeling like this terrible failure. I was in the Air Force. I was a beautiful woman, and I didn't have, you know, I didn't have any confidence. And I always thought I was ugly, and I spent my whole, and I moved here to Seattle after my friend committed suicide in New Mexico. And it's been hell here. With my Brooklyn accent and my Brooklyn ways and my Italiano ways, I would never find a good job. All through the 90s I've been here. So I wanted to tell Helen Guiley that if you want to write a book about the good things, I've got a whole bunch.
There are good spirits there, Rosemary. Aren't there some good ones?
Oh, there are many of them. And in fact, more than half of my work is devoted to the other side of the fence, which is about helping spirits, including angels. And so I'm very familiar with them as well, and people are helped and aided by them all the time.
I was going to say, you have been, and you've made yourself an expert on angels as well. Would you categorize them as spirits?
Well, I categorize them as beings.
Beings, entities.
They don't have a physical form like us. They can seem to take a physical form when necessary. They're spirits in the sense that they're not corporeal, but I consider them beings.
All right, Rosemary's website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com, as she was mentioning. She's redone it. It's visionaryliving.com. And John Zaffis, it's his name, johnzaffis.com. That, too, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We're going to come back in a moment with both of them and take final phone calls. What a fast night already. The next hour, open lines here on Coast to Coast AM with a hotline subject, and that is, have you ever done a deal with the devil? Gosh, I hope not. But if you have, share that with us. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, open lines here on Coast to Coast AM, but we've still got some of your phone calls and questions for Rosemary Ellen Guiley and John Zaffis as we talk about their work, Demon Haunted, in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back with John Zaffis and Rosemary Ellen Guiley, Demon Haunted, True Stories from John Zaffis' Vault. How much do you have in that vault, John?
Oh, gosh, George, tons. Tons. Actually, the barn at this point in time looks like an episode on Hoarders.
Really? All those things. How do you accumulate them all?
It's amazing, you know, again, in a course of a month's time that, you know, some of the things that will be shipped to me from different investigations that people have worked on, or people will pick up things and they just get creeped out by it. They insist that there's definitely something to it. And a lot of times they'll just automatically, you know, send it to me or be involved with an investigation where, you know, something does definitely need to be removed. And I'll tell you what, after 40 plus years, those things really rack up, and there's quite a few things in there today.
They do. How about you, Rosemary? Do you collect memorabilia like that or ghostly things?
To a lot lesser extent than John does. I do have a small collection, and the items just run the gamut. People want to know what sorts of things can become afflicted or attached by spirits. Literally anything. Household objects, art objects, personal possessions, clothing, mirrors. Mirrors are quite problematic in some cases. Jewelry, as I just mentioned, just about anything can have difficulty with the spirit world. And but my collection is much smaller and much more manageable than
mm-hmm.
John's.
Good. Rosemary, what do you think this is? This other world, this other dimension where all these evil spirits seem to lurk. What is it?
Well, many spirits are in the astral plane, and the astral plane is very close to the physical plane. There are opportunistic spirits. I've nicknamed them the drive-by demons because they're just out there looking around for opportunities to latch on to places and people to cause trouble. And many people are going to go through their entire lives never being bothered because they're not in the right circumstances or they've got very strong buffers around them. But just about everybody has some sort of weird or unpleasant encounter with the spirit world from time to time. And these are from the pesky to malevolent entities that they're very parasitic and opportunistic, and some of them seem to go looking for ways to interfere with humans and upset human affairs.
We're going east of the Rockies now. Anne is with us in Pennsylvania. Hi, Anne. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
First-time caller.
Well,
long-time
good. Long-time
listener.
Thank you on both ends.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Oh, sure. Loud and clear.
Oh, gosh. I mean, it's amazing I got through. Oh, gosh, I don't know where to begin.
Now you forgot, right? Now.
Huh?
You forgot what you wanted to ask.
Oh, gosh, it's too many things. But Pagliese, remember Pagliese?
Pagliese?
The lady that used to do the...
Oh, Paglini.
Paglini, I'm sorry.
The witch,
yeah.
The good witch.
Oh, gosh, she is a tough lady, but she's right on the money with a lot of stuff.
Yep, she sure was.
Very well missed.
Extremely.
Anyway, yeah. Rosemary and John, you know, gosh, I don't know where to begin, but I've had an encounter with, you could say, a small ladder a long time ago.
Small ladder?
Yes.
A ladder? What happened?
A small ladder, and I had an accident. And ever since then, I haven't been the same. And I don't know if she is a psychic or anything. Is she?
No, Rosemary's not a psychic, but she's pretty tuned in. Why? What'd you want to ask her?
Oh, gosh, I'd like to know when things would be better for me.
Well, that I don't think she can answer. I wish you could, Rosemary.
Yeah, that's something that I wouldn't be able to tackle without really doing a deeper analysis on the case. This is the first time I've heard of an afflicted ladder, but as I was saying, anything can acquire a bad spirit energy. But what makes you think a spirit was involved?
Well, because a long time ago I had somebody staying with me for a while because I figured they needed help,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a good friend, as a person, you know. And anyway, a long time known person with my old past one. Anyway, besides that, it was just that they said they were into demonic stuff a long time ago, and they were from Kentucky and all this stuff. And they said, well, you don't want me to conjure anything up. I'm thinking... They said, that would be crazy, and I'm thinking, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what I was hearing, but I just, like, shoved it off and brushed it off, like, oh, whatever, you know what I mean? And ever since they left, because I had to get rid of them, and ever since then, that was, like, 8 years ago, that attachment, it just, ever
still
since,
there.
This dark cloud, one day when I was working, I look out the window, and all of a sudden, I'm thinking, there's no rain, there's not supposed to be no rain. But one day, this just, everything just, oh, my gosh, from one thing, from a pet passing away, another one, and, oh, everything has just been like...
spiraling.
It's been the same.
Well, I tell you what, we do get psychics on our show quite often, so when you hear one, call in with that story as well. But what's the easiest way, Rosemary or John, to get rid of an attachment?
Well, I definitely feel an important element with people is because we can't see it, we can't touch it, people fear it. And I think keeping that positive force, whatever your belief system is, whatever it is, call upon that positive, because it takes that inner strength of an individual to be able to stand up, just like you do in any other type of circumstances with things, and be able to fight back and use that positive energy to be able to help to break that bind that you have with these types of things. I've seen it work. I've seen people take that stand once you've talked to them, once you've been able to give them information and give them the tools to be able to fight back, because it takes an entire family structure, if you will, with people being involved with an individual to empower them to be able to take that stand and to be able to fight back. I've seen people do it, and I've seen them stand their ground, and I've seen them win to be able to break this with the power of, you know, everything good going for them, with the power of prayer. All these different things coming together can literally break things for an individual.
We use Skype, of course, and we're going to Nathaniel in Indiana on our Skype line. Nate, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we just enough, sure.
Oh, cool. I can speak louder if you need.
No, you're well.
Oh, excellent. So I had a question about spirits, or like familiars and pets.
Okay.
Whether or not like demonic spirits can like inhabit your pet, because I can give you a little backstory on this.
Sure.
So like I'm like a big like Alex Jones. I listen to like all the, you know, the stuff that the media doesn't want you to know about, and I was watching the debate, and I had a former roommate that was like this like really evil spirit. Like I always got a bad feeling about this guy, because he was like a Bernie bro, like he was like all supporting Bernie and whatnot, and like he was, I don't know, he was aside from that, he was bad news.
Okay.
Bad news.
We'll trust
and
you.
When I kicked him out, my cat started behaving well differently, and I think it came to like, I don't know, like an apex or something.
Ooh.
I was watching that debate between, you know, Hillary and the Trump. And, you know, I fully realize that Trump's like this false flag Clinton thing. I don't know all the details, but they're all in cahoots. And every time that Hillary was up there, the cat would, like, act out in, like, really weird ways.
Well, do you think the guy cursed you at all?
You think socialists can curse people?
Well, of course they can. Now, in this particular case, Rosemary, can an animal be possessed?
Oh, yes. Animals can be afflicted by spirits, and they would need to be treated with in much the same manner as a human, you know, to detach a spirit and free it from the animal. Whether or not the animal was deliberately afflicted, or something lingered in the home environment and landed on the cat, it's hard to determine.
Right. And how about you, John Zaffis? Any exposure with the possessed animals?
Yes, George. Again, too, it's a great thing that a lot of recognition it has been given, you know, as far as clergy realizing this. I worked on a case many years ago where this woman had a pet pig, and this animal acted as it was part of the family. It had its own bedroom, the home, you know, the whole thing. They treated it just like it was one of their children. And with this animal, when certain people would come into the home, it would react. And one night when we were there, we were doing a few prayers and doing a few things, sprinkling holy water around, and the animal literally came down the stairs, George, and it charged right after me for no apparent reason.
Jeez.
And again, a very good friend of ours, a bishop, came in, did a blessing over the animal, and a lot of the activity literally calmed right down in the home, and the animal calmed right down after that.
Well, what animal would get possessed the most?
I would say cats.
Cats would?
Yes.
Why?
It seems to be, when it comes to cats, they seem to be very intelligent. They seem to be a very easy target for the what we would call a lot of times in the field as a familiar. And a lot of people that practice things on different levels and different things, they will send it towards the cat, just like the gentleman was referring. As soon as he started saying that, I many cases where people have told me that, and you know, people would move out, they get divorced, and the cat would start to react totally differently. It would get very violent. Different episodes would start to occur with the cats. But I've seen more cats than any other animals be afflicted by negativity.
Let's go to Mickey in Queens, New York. Hi, Mickey. Thanks for calling.
Oh, hi. Thank you. I'm so glad you answered the phone. Hello?
Yeah. Hi.
Yeah. Hello to Rosemary and to John. I really respect these people who do this kind of thing. I'll read it. I wrote what I'm going to say because I don't want to miss anything. And I want to say everything. I was born in the Dominican Republic next to Haiti, who practices voodoo.
Right.
So I grew up watching ceremonies with my grandmother. My grandmother did not possess any spirits, but she helped people cleanse them by going to the cemetery. I was her secretary. I was only like 10 years old. I'll be writing the prayer that people have to do, and I try very hard to remember going to the cemetery after 7 baths and not returning again. And also the Cuban influence. Even here, they say in the South that people practice this thing. But what I want to say, I don't trust anybody, only my mother.
All right.
She died 2 years ago.
Sorry to hear that.
Thank you. I'm suffering from depression. And I feel like I'm practically lost because I don't have, like my mother would read the cup, you know, the coffee cup.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my grandmother used to do that too, Mickey.
Oh, where was your grandmother from?
She was born in the Middle East, and they ended up in Boston, but they were very into reading tea leaves and coffee cups and everything else.
Oh, yeah. Someone told me that they read the coffee grind. I have been told that I'm not strong enough by people who know about spiritual things. And I was also told that I was supposed to be some kind of a medium, but although my mother practiced and she was born with a veil, she always tried to keep me away from the man that my grandmother knew.
Tried to
she
protect
was
you.
Assistant. Like his assistant, because this man, he sort of degenerated. He started drinking, because apparently some psychic people, he was very good, he predicted death.
So, Mickey, do you feel as if you're being possessed or anything like that?
Yeah, I feel definitely that I have been verbally cursed by one person and by the second one in an indirect way.
And does the curse, do you think the curse is on you? The curse has stayed?
Yeah, everything that I do, especially the past 2 years, and it's like King Midas' story. Everything that I touch turns bad.
Well, now, John Zaffis, let me ask you this. In her case, in Mickey's case, if she's been cursed and it's staying on her, how do you get rid of it?
Well,
can't you deflect these things?
Well, one of the key things is there's a lot there just from what she was explaining. And I do honestly believe that a lot of times we're practicing different things, whether it's on a negative or a positive, George, in the environment of bringing a child in that, and she was seeing her, you know, family practice different things. Things probably have been attached to her for quite some time. What I would recommend is to her to talk to her spiritual guidance. If, you know, she's Catholic, talk to her priest, have some prayers done over her. And again, you know, that's ingrained. I do believe people inherit a lot of these different things from generation. I believe very strongly in that. And it's very difficult and it's very hard, but once the person realizes it, they can take that step forward to trying to break that lineage of whether she feels it's cursing or it's something that is just carried on from generation to generation.
Are there some priests that are better than others in terms of ridding spirits like this?
Oh, absolutely. When we deal with the clergy, with priests, it's so important that, they have the training, they have an understanding of what it's all about with the demonology, what it's like being involved with this. So there are a lot of priests out there, they just won't touch it, George. They don't want anything to do with it. They're petrified of it.
A lot
of them just don't believe that it even exists, that these people are literally going through these things. So being involved in working as I do, it's all stuff that I really don't get into with a lot of the different things that I do get involved with. I try to help them as much as I can on my end because, a lot of clergy people, a lot of spiritual people, they don't have street smarts. They don't understand what to look for or how to look for it in enabling them to be able to help an individual.
And that's so critical. You have to have that experience on the street, don't you?
Yes. You have to have down-to-earth thing to be able to understand what the individual could be going through, what actually transpired or what is happening. And a lot of times, just getting down and talking to a priest and, getting to that one-to-one, George, is very important because I don't hold back. I don't hold back. I will open up and, say, Father, hey, you got to understand this. This is,
get with it, priest.
Yeah, you have to. And they'll go, John.
I want you to help us, John. Find us another Malachi Martin priest for this program. Can you do that?
Oh, gosh, how I wish, George, my time I've spent with him, the few cases I worked with him on, he was one of the...
He was one of a kind. That's
one of a kind. And he was part of the underground with dealing with a lot of this, like many of us are. And again, one beautiful, beautiful person.
Sure was. Thank you both for being on the program. The name of the book, Demon Haunted, the website's all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Up next, open lines plus the topic of the night. In addition to everything else you want to talk about, have you done a deal with the devil?